to Syria now, where the Obama national security team will no doubt be facing challenges, but none more harrowing than the people of that country right now. This is what they heard over the weekend. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, before hundreds of his chanting supporters, speaking to millions of his citizens, 60,000 of whom have been killed in 2 years of civil war. Listen.
عند السلبية أو انتظار الزمن أو الآخرين ليحل المشكلة هو بحد ذاته.
Speaking in Arabic there, of course, his first public appearance in 6 months, a bizarre performance at, of all places, the Opera House in Damascus. Assad declared, quote, "What we started will not stop." He called the Syrian opposition puppets of the West, enemies of God, and operatives of al-Qaeda all at the same time. Joining us now, Lara Satrakian, a journalist and founder of Syria Deeply, a news website that covers the Syrian civil war. Lara, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John.
What were your feelings hearing Bashar al-Assad speaking to his people, really declaring in a way that this is a duel to the death?
What I heard was Assad ruling out a compromise. What he was saying in Arabic there was that his opponents are terrorists. He also said literally that they can go to hell. Those were his words. And what he did was basically maintain his stance, the same stance we've seen for the past 21 months, which is a refusal to engage with the rebels, the armed opposition, and a dismissal of this opposition that we've started to back in the West, the coalition that the U.S. helped create and that they really sealed with international support at that meeting in Marrakesh in December. What that means functionally is that Assad isn't going to give. He's not going to engage the other side in any meaningful way. And why that's such a steep security challenge for the U.S., it essentially forces us to ante up. Either we're going to have to let this war go on and continue dragging Syria and the broader region through deadly mud, or we're going to have to step in and intervene. And neither of those is an attractive option.
Of all the sources that you speak to who reach out to you at Syria Deeply, how do you think this speech sort of landed in the hearts and guts of so many of the civilians in Syria? 60,000 are believed killed, according to the United Nations estimate, and that's an undercount, I believe.
Right. It's just as we'd expect. We were monitoring the social media buzz in English and Arabic over the weekend. His detractors, his opponents, hated the speech, dismissed it as blatant lies. His supporters online were kind of proud to see him take this defiant, thumb your nose at the West position. And what I was really listening for, John, and what absolutely came through was Assad speaking to, it's maybe not the silent majority, but certainly the critical mass of the undecided in Syria who hate Assad but don't feel comfortable with the rebels. They are stuck in the middle and they are desperate for stability. What does jump out at me every day when we speak to people in Syria is that they are giving their children their last piece of bread. They don't have electricity. They're cold in the winter. They want a life back. So if Assad stands up and says, I'm ready to compromise, but only with this select group of people, or we're going to get things back to normal, but reject foreign interference, that's music to their ears. And if it's enough to convince them, then it will be enough to keep the opposition momentum and the rebel groups from winning over any more support.
Talking with Lara Satrakian, a journalist and founder of SyriaDeeply.org, one of the sources for covering the civil war in Syria. And you turned us on to a link this morning that is allegedly a live cell phone feed from fighting in Aleppo. It was extraordinarily brutal to watch. How do you put such a thing in context in your own reporting?
With Bamboozer, it's a very specific case. It's one of the social media tools we have seen rising in the Syria conflict in particular. It's a network of users around Syria showing live broadcasts from their cell phones of the fighting in real time. Maybe ironically, it's actually easier for us as reporters to deal with that kind of material than with a recorded YouTube video, because with something like live video, it's somewhat more difficult to doctor or do anything with. So, you know, we take it for what it is. It's user-generated material from the ground. The Bamboozer network itself has proven itself fairly reliable, and we've seen broadcasters around the world playing this material live. I remember watching Al Jazeera in June watching bombardments of this. And this is something we used to see on CNN. We saw it in the first Gulf War, the bombardment of Baghdad live
right
on TV. Now it's just happening from so many more places from users' standpoints.
Well, we're going to aggregate some of this source material that you can also find at SyriaDeeply.org. We're talking with Larry Satrakian. You can go to thetakeaway.org and see some of what we're watching this morning, trying to make sense of the Syrian civil war. Lara, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Lara Satrakian, of course, journalist and founder of SyriaDeeply.org. Go to thetakeaway.org for more on the Syrian civil war.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.